As we just heard David share with us, there's this story of Jesus taking three of the disciples. One could call it maybe his inner circle or maybe the executive of the disciples off on a bit of a team building exercise. Takes them off on a hike. And as Huda mentioned, we have no idea what they took with them or how it was that Peter got the notion that he was going to build three tabernacles or three tents. But that's the story. And Jesus doesn't just take them off and say, let's go over there in the garden, or let's go just around the corner in the road so that we're a little bit away from everybody else. No, no, no. In true fashion, Jesus says, let's go up there. There's going to be some work to that. He doesn't really tell the disciples that, though. You're going to have to climb up there. It's not going to be easy. The ground is probably a little loose in some places and firm in others. But once we get there, that's the whole point. In some ways, it reminds me of a mountain I climbed one time in Newfoundland. It's called Gros Morne Mountain. If you ever see it, it looks like somebody took a hot knife and just chopped the top off. It is almost perfectly flat on top. The last glacier just cut it off. But it's also a climb up a shale slide. And if you've ever tried to climb up a shale slide, you know it's not easy. If you ask Victoria how I found that climb, she'll tell you I got about halfway up and there was a big boulder that had slid down along with it. And I kind of sat there and looked at her and said, you go on ahead, just leave me here to die. I'll be a snack for a bear or whatever. And in true fashion, she just kind of looked at me and said, no, no, we'll just go slower. And I was like, if we go any slower, they'll send out search and rescue for us. But the climb continued. I didn't obviously stay there, and I didn't end up being a snack for a bear, or I wouldn't be here today. But that's kind of the point of this story. Change is like that. It takes time and it takes effort. The other part of this story is that when change begins to happen, sometimes we want to hold on to it with everything we've got, because we don't know what comes next. We know what came before. We know where we are, but we don't yet know what's going to happen next. And so we have this story of Jesus being transfigured, and as if Peter, James, and John didn't really get who Jesus was, this is kind of like the do you get it now kind of moment, right? It's kind of like those television ads around can you hear me now, right? You know, but it's, do you get it now? This is my son whom I love. My hunch is the disciples are okay up to that point. And then they go, listen to him. And I always find it weird when you read this story, the very first thing they do is not listen. Right? If they've learned nothing else about Jesus, they should have known he wasn't going to say, oh, yes, this event has happened, this change has happened in our lives, quick, let's huddle together off to ourselves in isolation from the rest of society so that somehow we can look inward and gaze at our navel lint and stay there. That is not the gospel story. The gospel story is always about Jesus moving to the edges, moving out into society, into the neighborhood, moving away from the center of power and authority and out to meet those who are the most disenfranchised, the people on the margins. That's the Jesus story. That's the gospel story. And yet Peter, in true Peter fashion, and don't get me wrong, I love Peter, but sometimes he just doesn't get it. Which is probably a good thing to have in a scripture character because it gives us someone to identify with all the times that we just don't get it. And Peter says to Jesus, let's just stay here. I'll build three things.
Depending on the translation, it's tents, it could be tabernacles, what are shelters, whatever you want to think of it as. I'll build three monuments. I'll build three beautiful buildings where we can stay. As if somehow it's possible to hold on to that experience and never have it change. Of course, we've got the benefit of a few years of space from this story to today. And yet, the temptation is still there. We know what has been, and we know where we are. Can we not just stay here and hold on to it and protect it and not engage in some kind of change? Can we just be here? The emerging church movement acknowledges that the way the church has been versus the way the church is being called to evolve for tomorrow is fundamentally different. The church my dad was trained for, grew up in, and was ordained to had a system of doing evangelism, of spreading the gospel and of welcoming people in that was based on three words: believe, behave, belong. It starts off with faith. You believe the right things. Then you behave according to the standards of the community, right? You behave as a disciple, and then you belong. But that's the last step. In theory, you could believe and behave and never belong, right? The emerging church movement acknowledges that in our time and space, those three words have become rearranged. And now it's really more about belong, believe, become. Most folks come into a faith community because they're craving some sense of belonging. That eventually leads to some questions of faith and some sense of then becoming to believe, which then leads into some sense of becoming. Not as a destination, not as a type of behavior, not as a set of lists and boxes that you can tick and go, I've behaved all the right ways, therefore I must be a good Christian, and by golly, my place in the kingdom of God is guaranteed. We've figured out that that's not true. But the process of becoming, that journey of always moving into a deeper relationship with the Holy, understanding the call of Jesus on our lives and what it means to embrace the Holy Spirit and risk the change that that might inspire and require, that process of becoming is fundamental to who the church is called to be. In some of the material that's referred to as reflecting a move away from traditional cognitive heavy evangelism toward a more relational, experiential, and community-focused approach to faith. Outside our building, you'll see three words: come, grow, serve. Belong, believe, become. That's who I think the church is called to be as we embrace who we are and who we are called to be. The temptation will always be to do exactly what Peter did, and there's nothing really wrong with that. It's a human reaction to a transcendent experience. The temptation is to just say, let's just keep everything the same. Let's not change anything. Don't ruffle any feathers. Don't rock any boats. Don't cause too many waves. Just keep it nice and level and calm and flat. How many of you work in healthcare? Out of curiosity. Oh, I might have worn out the battery. How many of you, that's a bad thing for a preacher. So I'll repeat it. How many of you work in healthcare? Just give a wave. In healthcare, if you're looking at a monitor and you see a flat line, Is that the sign of health? No, no. Flatline in healthcare is a really bad thing. That's when buzzers and sirens and things go off and announcements happen over the PA and people start running for like code blues and all kinds of fun stuff. The same is true about our faith and about our church. A flat line is not a sign of health. But it might be a sign of folks trying to hold on to what they know. And where they find themselves comfortable. Karen Solomonson says this: everything good that has happened in your life has happened because something changed. So don't be so fearful of change. Just think about that. Everything good in your life has happened because something has changed. You left home, you went off to school, you made some lifelong friends. That was a change. You left home. You managed to get a license and drive your first car, and all of a sudden you had all kinds of freedom. Something changed. Maybe you've been fortunate to have little humans come into your life. I guarantee you, your life changed. We can have coffee later and we can talk about whether that was good change or bad change. Some of that might have depended on the day, or if it was at 3 a.m., but there was change. And without that change, you wouldn't have those relationships. Change is not a bad thing. Most of us don't like it because it means we're going to have to grieve something that we're changing. We're moving away from. And that's okay. The challenge is not to let it own us. Not to let it require us to build those tabernacles and isolate ourselves off from others. That's the challenge. Because even if Peter, James, and John had built those, they could have, and they could have stayed there. But here's the thing, Jesus was never going to stay there. If you look at this gospel story, one of the things you can see is that Jesus is anything but stagnant. There is no flat line for Jesus. He is constantly changing stuff up, moving stuff, adapting to stuff, saying one thing and then getting challenged by it and going, that kind of makes some sense. I'll change my understanding of that a little bit. And somehow, if that's okay for Jesus, then guess what? It just might be okay for us. There is a way to change and evolve and adapt that still stays true to the core of who you are. The core of being a place where people come, grow, and serve. Megwetch, may it be so. Amen.